This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by two terrific leaders. We're joined by Matt Love, who's the CEO and president of Nicklaus Children's Hospital in Miami, one of the great children's and pediatric hospitals in the country. We're also joined by Judson Ivey. Judson's the founder and CEO of Ensemble Healthcare Partners, Health Partners, and one of the great revenue cycle companies in the country. So a pleasure to visit with both today. We're going to talk specifically today about really COVID in children's hospitals and COVID in responding to the pandemic, particularly amongst pediatrics and so forth. But a lot of the lessons that we share will go way beyond children's hospitals and pediatrics and be hopefully helpful and informative to a wide range of the audience. Matt, let me start with you to ask you just to take a moment to introduce yourself.
All right, great. My name is Matthew Love. I'm the president and CEO here at Nicklaus Children's. I've been here just over 2.5 years at the freestanding Children's Hospital here in South Florida.
Magnificent. And Judson, can I ask you to take a second to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Scott. And thanks for having us today. Good afternoon. I'm Judson Ivey, the founder and CEO of Ensemble Health Partners. We are a revenue cycle company providing end-to-end partnerships for healthcare systems and healthcare providers. We have more than 400 hospital clients and 9,000 providers that we partner with.
Fantastic. And Matt, let me start with you. Talk about children's hospitals and how has COVID impacted children's hospitals, and what are some of the big challenges, unique challenges that pediatric children's hospitals face?
Great. Yeah, thank you. Thankfully, COVID-19, has not affected children in the same way that it has adults. In fact, less than 12% of the cases are children 0 to 17 years of age, which is the good news, right? Florida, though, has seen a quite slightly higher increase in that rate than other states. So for us, even though on the pediatric side, we've seen the deterioration and slowness due to elective surgery delays, closures, et cetera, we have not seen the big surges in COVID-19 patients that the adult hospitals had seen during the height of the pandemic. Specifically for us in children's hospitals, it's really the decline in emergency and outpatient volumes, urgent care volumes, et cetera, that we really see kids not coming to those services for care during this pandemic.
Are there some unique challenges that children's hospitals face during the pandemic that are different than other hospitals?
Yeah, we saw a couple of different things, for us. First and foremost was around, we are heavily reliant on Medicaid. In fact, we're 70% Medicaid as a payer mix. And so really access into the healthcare facilities, healthcare services for kids was different than in the adult side. And I'll give you a couple examples real quick. What we saw with the slowness and volumes with kids not being in schools, not being in playgrounds was significant. But just like the adult world where, parents were afraid to come in early on the pandemic, we did see that part as well. But it was really around the kids not being in school, not being exposed to the viruses and other illnesses, and then the sports injuries that, of course, didn't happen when things were slowed down.
And just very quickly, Matthew, what are you seeing now? Are volumes returning, or is business returning, or what's the sense of what you're seeing now?
Yeah, overall, we're starting to see, a recovery in some of the inpatient volumes. We've seen the elective procedures come back, et cetera, where we still continue to have some of the pain points that we saw during the pandemic is really isolated in our emergency department and our urgent cares. That's still about 30 to 40% below pre-COVID levels. And I think it's primarily because of the same reasons that we talked about during the pandemic, right? Kids still are not fully back into school, out playing on the playgrounds, et cetera. What we have seen, though, which is parents are now more comfortable coming into the facility versus what we saw early on in the pandemic.
Judson, let me ask you to jump in, Judson. I want to ask you about revenue cycle in the context of a little bit decreasing volumes And how important is it that revenue cycle has gotten right during these periods of time?
Yeah, great question, Scott. And I would say, acute adult health care, it was tough for COVID as well. And as we look at the volumes, acute volumes for adult care has primarily recovered. We're seeing about 98% to pre-COVID volumes for adult care. But on children's health care, we're seeing roughly 70% back to pre-COVID volumes. So that kind of pushes that revenue cycle really must be right. And there's some levers that on the adult side that they were able to be pulled that were not there on children's health care. For example, many adult acute care systems, if not all, received the Medicare add-on payment for COVID-related diagnoses, and then managed care companies followed suit. Well, that was designed to offset the increased cost of PPE, the increased cost of drugs, the increased cost of nursing care, which we've seen a dramatic cost of nursing care and the average wage per hour for nurses drive up. Well, children's hospitals, just by the nature, they weren't seeing COVID patients. There were no add-on payments. And so there was also less funding for children's hospitals. So that really forced children's hospitals to focus on revenue cycle. And in a way that not only from an urgency perspective, but also kind of speed to value. And that's really what we kind of attribute, Scott, a lot of our success to in the partnership with Nicholas, was that they didn't have these other levers, whether it was more government funding, whether it was add-on payments. They didn't have those as their adult peers had. So it really accelerated Nicholas to focus on how do we get revenue cycle right during COVID.
And Matthew, let me let you pick up on that. In terms of when you look at revenue cycle and improving cash collections and improving the efficiency of it as well, has it been helpful to allow you to stay focused on the core mission of taking care of Florida's youngest patients? It's sometimes the most needy patients and the youngest patients. Has that helped you be able to stay focused on mission?
Yes, absolutely. And kind of pick up on what Judson was talking about is, you know, for us, you know, our primary mission is taking care of kids, right? Kids and their families. And so the ability, that the impact on the financial piece of improved revenue cycle is significant. And we can talk about that as well. But just as important is really to allow us less stress related to revenue cycle and letting the experts do it. This really allowed us to focus on taking care of kids, protecting our staff with PPE and whatnot along those lines, but really focus around, you know, what we do best. And that's really around taking care of kids and their families. And so it was very much less stress on the organization, less stress on the management team, knowing the improvements in revenue cycle were going to help us get through, you know, this pandemic.
And just to follow up on one of the things you mentioned early in that answer, talk a little bit about improved revenue cycle and what you're seeing. Just a moment there.
All right. So there's so many different angles to that, right? So the pieces around, and I'll ask Judson to chime in as well. But, you know, we of course measure the traditional things, cash collections, net revenue percentages, et cetera. What we saw during the pandemic and as a result of the Ensemble partnership is really an acceleration and an improvement on every single one of those metrics. And so the ability to have that get done in a time of a pandemic was instrumental, I think, in helping us get through the last year or so along those lines. Judson, do you want to talk a little bit about the specifics?
Yeah. Let me also tee up a little bit here too, because you see this both at Nicholas and you see this in other places too. The ability to improve revenue cycle in the midst of a pandemic when people are seeing difficult decreases in elective surgeries, they're seeing difficulty in the urgent cares in the ERs, and other emotional difficulties of parents not being able to be with kids through everything. How important was it to sort of take some of that stress off and be able to implement revenue cycle changes and improve cash flow and boost key performance indicators in a difficult time?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to the mission, Scott, and that kind of is where Nicholas laid out to their clinicians, to their board, the picture of declining volumes, ED, the elective surgeries, all that kind of bread and butter stuff was gone. And the impact of that on the P&L, and that provided a motivation to say, look, we have to take care of these kids. And that opened up the door for us to lay out a playbook, if you will, of how are you going to improve RCO to put money to the bottom line? And keep in mind with the children's hospital, you know, they're 70% Medicaid. So you can't really tweak the charge master and run up prices. You can't get aggressive on making patients pay their bills. You got to get to the core fundamentals of revenue cycle, which is how do we improve and the patient experience? How do we do better pre-certification? How do we do better charge capture? How do we educate our doctors on physicians, accurate documentation? And so we had to kind of stick to the core knitting there to improve those processes. At the same time, clinicians were focused on taking care of patients. And so we were balancing how do you implement new processes, procedures, and technology, but at the same time, letting them actually get more time doing their core work, which is focusing on patients. And so that was very much part of the alignment that we were looking for with Nicholas, was to say, allow us to take the heavy lifting off and focus on, you know, whether it was improving denials and underpayments and charge capture and all the things, Scott, that are part of improving revenue cycle, but doing it in a way that didn't put the heavy lifting on the people that were being tasked with taking care of patients.
And so, fantastic work and so difficult to do well, and you guys do it very well. Talk for a moment, and Judd or Matt, why don't you take the lead on this. You also worked together on some Florida legislation to improve outcomes and experiences for patients, families. Why don't you take the lead and tell us about that effort to modify Florida state legislation?
Yeah, I'll start, Justin, if you don't mind on this one, because I think this is a key outcome of what when two great organizations come together and be able to work across the state for the benefit of every single hospital in the state of Florida. And so I think what you're referring to is when we worked, Nicholas Children's as well as Ensemble with some of the other health systems, primarily children's hospitals across the state of Florida, to modify how we get paid on what we call interim bills. So in children's hospitals, particularly us, we have long length of stay patients. They're in here for a long time, sometimes over a year. And prior to this change in legislation, we would only get paid when they were discharged. So, and in fact, we were financing this over, 6, 8, 12, 18, 24 months. And so working with Ensemble and working with ACA, the state legislative component, we're able to change that. So now we actually get paid on an interim basis for these patients that are here long, long times. And we're talking millions of dollars of payments on some of these kids that are here that long. And so again, the bigger benefit was to us, but it was also to every single hospital in the state of Florida.
So that's fascinating. So the legislative change that you made or worked to modify, and very important, was before this, you got paid at the end of an episode. If you have patients that are in for a year, getting paid at the end of an episode is brutal economically because you're ultimately pre-funding everything. Is that a fair assessment, Matt?
Yes, and it was multiple patients that we would stay here as a children's hospital, which is a little different than what we see in the adult world.
Fantastic. Judson, do you want to chime in on that as well? Because it seems like a real partnership between yourselves and Nicholas to work through this effort. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, and so I would point out, Scott, that the lack of interim billing or the guidelines from ACA applied to all hospitals in the state of Florida, not just children's hospitals. And I've been in Florida for the last 12 years, and as working in a provider, it was always a pain point because not just children, but long length of stay for ICU patients or cardiac patients or neurology patients, there was no way to interim bill. And when we started our partnership with Nicholas, you know, as part of the planning session, they laid out what are all the pain points. And this was one of them. And so many times people would just say, look, it's a status quo. You're not going to change. You're not going to change this because it's been that way for many, many years. And I think what we were able to do is look at the impact to the health system by that one change and say, okay, how do we put a compelling case together to share that story with how this impacts not only health systems, but patients and all of those things. And that's what we did. So it goes to a larger concept though, Scott, which is as providers, sometimes we accept the status quo, whether it's an insurance policy or a process that's been broken for a long time. And I think what's really exciting is we were able to say, let's look at all of those things, not just interim billing, but all of those processes that are kind of legacy processes. And how do we go and challenge those and redesign those? And so this is one example of, you know, Nicholas bringing forward an issue that was impacting not only them, but every provider in the state of Florida. And then us saying, how do we change that? So a real success story, and Matt and the rest of the hospitals in Florida, and certainly we give a lot of credit to ACA and the government relations folks that were even open to considering it. And I give them a lot of credit because it's been that way a long time. And they said, look, we understand the impact on providers. We're going to change the regulation.
Thank you very, very much. I want to do this. It's a great example of a deep partnership between Nicholas Children's Hospital and as well as Ensemble Health Partners and help from the state association, the ACA as well. Just magnificent. I want to thank Matthew Love, CEO and president of Nicholas Children's Hospital, Judson Ivey, CEO, founder of Ensemble Health Partners, for joining us today. Just a little bit of insight into what's going on with children's hospitals in the pandemic, things that children's hospitals can do to try and soften some of the challenges and be mission focused. And just a terrific pleasure to visit with both of you. Thank you, folks, very much.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.